This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
It's an absolutely gorgeous day across Arkansas, and we're happy to be here for Halftime on ESPN Arkansas and HitThatLine.com. I'm Phil Elson, my partner Matt Jones. I think we got the C-Unit, Kristen Johnston, in the studios for right now. And we are live at Hard Scrabble Country Club for the Fort Smith Razorback Club meeting. For some reason, they want to talk to me today, Matt. I'm not exactly sure why. Oh, maybe because there's a big baseball game later today at Baum Walker Stadium. Must be the reason why.
Well, you know, they don't let me out much, so I'm just glad to be out of the house today.
I'm sure you are. Yeah, you've played on this course before, too,
fun
right?
Fun track. This is a great course. I played in a couple four balls out here. Years ago, I want to say the best I've ever shot. I shot a 76 out here before, back when I used to play a lot. If I could break 90 today, I'd be happy.
I might get a 76 before the turn if I got out there today.
It's a cool track.
Well, in about an hour, I'm going to leave Matt. He'll be by him. Well, he won't really be by himself because I'm sure there'll be babies to kiss and bald heads to sign, but Clay Henry will join him in about an hour. I'm speaking to the Fort Smith Country Club, or the Fort Smith Razorback Club, at 12 noon, so it's a little bit of like a moving parts feel to the show today, although all I'm doing is moving like, what, 100 feet, 100 feet over here to this room, to our right. So whenever everybody starts walking in, they'll see us right here, and I get to go right in there, and I guess they want to hear some stuff about Arkansas baseball.
Well-lit room right there. You got some natural light. Always
It'd be a good grow room over there if you want to get some plants on the windows.
Always like it when you can have some natural light coming in, so it looks good.
Yeah, this is a good day to be out here, and then later tonight you got biggest college baseball game of the season, or at least up until right now. It would be the game of the year, right?
It's a three-game series, huh?
Yep. Oh, yep. Three-game series starts today. I guess it's a little different than maybe expected because LSU has changed their pitching rotation. It feels like they're taking, you know, there's a different lineup to their rotation than I think anybody would have expected. We know Hagan Smith starts for Arkansas. The Hogs did make a change in their rotation, not in who's pitching, but in how they're getting lined up. And so you got Brady Tigard throwing the third game Saturday. Mason Molina takes over for the second game. And that's not a health reason or anything like that with Brady. I just think there's some command issues and mechanical issues they're trying to iron out, and one more day of rest. Hopefully we'll help him do that. But I kind of expected that Luke Holman would start for LSU. He's been their ace. He's had a great start to the season. Did get knocked around by Mississippi State a couple of weeks ago, but his numbers, you know, kind of rival Hagan Smith's in some aspects. In fact, he's got a lower earned run average, but they've moved him to the second game. And initially LSU went with a TBA for today, but that's going to be a left-handed pitcher, Javon Coleman, who is mostly a reliever. Coleman, as I'm looking at the numbers, he has made three starts. He's come out of the pen three times, so I think they're going to try to piece that game together. Unexpected, although I think Dave had a sense that maybe that would happen, because in his presser he said he didn't know if there would be a Holman starting Thursday or on Friday, and it turned out he's starting Friday. So that's a big difference, because I expected it would be ace versus ace. But in this case, it feels like LSU is trying to avoid having their ace face the Razorback ace. It's not like they're giving the game up, but it feels like they're putting a little more emphasis on the last two games instead of the first game.
Well, you don't want to get swept. You want to try to win at least one if you're LSU. Didn't a team earlier in the year do that to them? It was a non-conference game where they pitched their better player in the game. Is that kind of normal?
That happens a lot in regionals. And there are some staffs that will put their best pitcher second in the weekend. But LSU usually isn't one of those teams. Like Paul Skeens started every first game for them last year, and I would have assumed that Holman would have done the same thing. But Jay Johnson is a really smart head coach, so it's just a different tack to the way that this series is going to play out.
I know. What's Van Horn? We go righty, lefty, righty.
Lefty, righty. Oh, no, it's lefty, lefty, righty now.
That's what we're doing this week. What's that's LSU right. do? Is it good to change it up, do you think, as a hitter? What are the hitters?
Well, they're going to really, I mean, it's a matter of who's second out of the pen. Who's the first guy out of the pen, really, from your starters, because that may be where you start mixing and matching a little bit more. And I think both of these head coaches, they know they have deep benches, and I think there will be some mixing and matching. LSU's got a lot of left-handed relievers, a lot. And Arkansas's got a lot of left-handed bats, and they got a lot of right-handed bats that have, in some cases, been stuck on the bench. So, I mean, it's always a fascinating series when these two teams match up. But with LSU being a national champion from last year and Arkansas being number one, you know, you throw that on top of it, you throw on the change in the starting rotation, and it, I think it's even a little bit more interesting.
Well, it's why you come to Arkansas to play baseball in games like this. I bet the atmosphere up there is going to be electric.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Will it have a postseason feel to it, you think? I mean, it's one of those deals where both these teams are expected to be at Omaha.
You know, I kind of put the atmospheres for LSU home games just differently than most others. Maybe I shouldn't put it in those terms. For years, that really was where I think a lot of the idea of a rivalry was set in. But when Tennessee came in last year, that was wild. You know, the Razorback fans really do have a very special place in their heart for the Tennessee Volunteer Baseball program. And Ole Miss, very much the same. I'd put those three with LSU as where you get a different kind of an atmosphere.
Well, I'm an 83 baby, so I'm a little younger. But I got Tennessee. When you're talking about teams that I dislike the most as an Arkansan, Tennessee's number one.
Well, you have you played against them on the football field, right?
0-1, uh-huh. Jason Witten down the middle of the field. Yeah, that was a great game. Man, Richard Smith played great that game. That was good.
Well, there is, I don't know if you want to call this news. I mean, one of the topics that we've kicked around a little bit and has been talked about a lot on other shows on this station and others is the status of Eric Musselman as the Arkansas head men's basketball coach. And look, I don't think there's been anything to report outside of just rumors that get thrown around on social media and on message boards, and that's not news. But sometimes people feel like where there's smoke, there's fire. And I mean, you want to call it news? I can understand there are some nerves with the idea that maybe Southern California comes open with Andy Enfield apparently being the top choice for SMU. I thought maybe that would be a program that could attract Musk because of its location in Southern California and heading to the Big Ten. Big, not a great basketball program historically, but a big-time athletics department. But Hunter Yurecek has put out a tweet. This was 19 minutes ago of Hunter boarding a bus, and Muss is driving the bus.
You know who Coach Musselman is? Like, if you want to relate it, correlate it to college football, he's Lane Kiffin. You know, his dad was a coach. He's been around it. He's young. He's energetic.
Usage of social media.
He's good looking. Exactly. He does all that stuff well. He's out there. He's Lane Kiffin. If you look at it, and I hope Coach Musk stays, but I think each year this is just going to be that's the thing with Coach Musk. I mean, every year he would be sought after by a lot of colleges.
Well, as I've been saying,
both
for the
did
last
time in the pros a little bit. You know, as
right.
far as yeah.
That's true. I mean, I'd never drawn that comparison, but I think you've come as close to nailing a comparison in football for Eric Musselman.
I'm gonna have to
else.
Look up see how old they are if they're about the same age.
I think Musk probably has about 10 years on Kiff. I think Kiffin's my age. I think he's 47. Musk, I think, is 10
wow.
years older.
Kiffin's young still.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, dude, think of everything that he's Man. Done up to this age too. That's kind of wild. But I do think Musk is the coach, and I thought he's going to be the coach really since the season ended. And
need to get a new bus, though.
Whatever. It looks like
yeah.
it's one that's kind of been in the garage
yeah.
over in the university garage for a
bus.
While.
Yeah.
They only use it for video production purposes because Musk has his own bus. I mean, this is not the first time, I think, that we've had a video tweeted from anybody of a bunch of people getting on a bus and Eric Musselman is driving it. There's been one where he's been in a golf cart. That was a real golf cart that really was working fine. I don't know about this bus. But if you're nervous about it, if you got a video showing the athletics director getting on the bus driven by the head coach, what else do you need? Do you need to see the contract signed? Do you need to see a video of Eric Musselman now saying, hey, I am going to be the head coach here now, so don't worry about it, and then just make it a five-second clip? This is as entertaining of a way to do it.
There you go.
This speaks to me.
And, you know, I guess, I don't know who brought it up, but as far as not signing the contract extension, that's kind of why the only question was asked, because, you know, what's normal? Is it just, does he have to make an announcement every year?
Right, exactly. Is this the kind of thing we got to do next year? You got to just replay the video over and over again 1 year after the next? Well, there's your news, if you want to put it in those terms. I do think it's news because it's an announcement without really being an announcement.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Eastside Liquor in Fort Smith has St. Patrick's Day specials going on right now. Shanky's Whip for $27.99, Proper 12 Apple for $29.99, Single Malt for $38.99, Blended for $28.99, Jameson Orange 750 milliliters for $25.99, and for 1.75 liters, $52.99. Redbreast Cask Strength for a new low price of $99.99. In Irish Creams, St. Brendan's 750 milliliters for $14.99, 1.75 liters for $27.99, and a new salted caramel for $14.99. Carolyn's Peanut Butter for $17.99, Bailey's Vanilla Mint Shake for $29.99, and a new flavor, chocolate, $29.99, and Five Farms for $29.99. Now, back to the podcast.
I think we're working on getting Bob back. I think he's back. I see our phone line is back up here, so let's put him back on. Bob, I don't know if you saw before the show started, Hunter Yurecek had put out a video of him boarding a bus that's being driven by Eric Musselman. It's a 17-second video or something like that, very short. But it's all I need to see to know that Mus is going to be the coach moving forward. You know, some people wanted an announcement or something or some communication with fans or something like that. I think if you're going into the portal, you're talking to kids who are in the portal, that's one of the things that you tell them, that, hey, I'm going to be the coach here.
Absolutely.
If you're worried about who it is you're going to play for. So I never bought a lot of the noise that was out there, and I think this video should put the rest of it to sleep.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me for Eric to leave Arkansas at this time. I'm not saying that there aren't other jobs he could be interested in, or obviously there would be schools interested in Eric, but I just didn't see a job out there that I thought, oh, that's his dream job. That job is so much better than Arkansas. It's such an obvious step up. First of all, I think Arkansas is one of the best jobs in the country, and I know there's a lot of talk about Louisville, and they obviously just hired their guy, but I just think, maybe we've talked about this, I think if you're a coach in whatever sport, I want to be in the Big Ten or the SEC right now, because they're the power brokers. I might use this analogy. They're like the U.S. and Russia after World War II. They're the superpowers. Everybody else is just France or England or, you know, Argentina or whatever. Canada, maybe. No offense to Canada. But so Louisville, I mean, we know that's a historic job, but what's the ACC going to look like in a year or two, depending on these Florida State Clemson lawsuits? So I think if you're in the SEC, particularly if you're at a, you know, Arkansas to me is a historic program. You'll get NCAA tournaments and Final Fours and win national championship and facilities. And I think I know this was a rough year. I think it's the second best basketball job in the SEC behind Kentucky. And also, I don't know if people are beating down the door to take the Kentucky job. And obviously people would be interested in it, but it's a hard job with all the things you have to deal with in Kentucky. You know, you have to deal with a lot of school like Arkansas too, but I don't think anything's quite like Kentucky in terms of circles. I mean, just look at what, you know, happened after this season where everybody's, you know, going crazy about is Calipari going to be back. And I know they've obviously had, you know, March disappointments, but yeah, I mean, I think that's probably good that Hunter did that, just to put that out there, put things to rest. But I never thought Eric was going anywhere after this season. Maybe I think Matt asked me that last week, and I'm no, you know, guru or whatever. I just didn't think there were any jobs out there that it made sense for Eric or anybody else to leave Arkansas for.
Hey, Bob, how's your bracket doing? If I gave you UConn or the field, who you taking? And do you give Alabama any shot tonight? I mean, that's a big-time game tonight, Alabama taking on North Carolina.
Yeah, my bracket's perfect because I didn't do one. It was so humbling and embarrassing. I haven't done one in, I don't know, 10 years. I just don't see the point. But, you know, I think it's great for people to do it, but I'm not knocking anybody. I just don't do it anymore. But, yeah, UConn in the field, I think I would take the field. I mean, UConn's the obvious favorite and really hasn't been challenged going back to last year. But I'll take, you know, the other 15 teams on UConn. I mean, versus UConn, I think one of those other 15, the odds are better that one of those other 15 wins in UConn, although UConn's obviously the favorite. I just wonder what will happen if UConn has a close game, you know, because really, I think last year they won every game by, you know, 15 or more, and this year they're blasting people. But, yeah, and then North Carolina and Alabama, you got to go with North Carolina there, but that's a really good matchup. I mean, I thought, you know, Alabama, we know they're offensive-oriented, but I thought they clamped down pretty good defensively against Grand Canyon. You know, sure, they could play some defense. And so I think Alabama will have a shot. Obviously, they're going to have to hit their threes and you'll probably keep R.J. Davis somewhat under control. But that's a really good matchup. I was sitting there thinking, you know, I know Muss and Nate Oates are such good friends. I'm sure Nate picked Eric's brain from playing North Carolina in the Battle for Atlantis. I'm joking there.
I was going to say, I'm sure those guys are big text buddies.
Yeah. I don't think they're sharing information. Somebody asked Eric, I can't remember if this was on a Zoom or the tournament, but they asked him about, you know, sharing information. He said they used to happen a lot in the Mountain West. Didn't really happen in the SEC.
That's funny. Hey, Bob, it's opening day in Major League Baseball, and I don't have a team to root for. You know I'm a Pirates fan. That is an exercise in futility. You might feel the same way about the Detroit Tigers. Who should I root for? Maybe you want to make a case that I become a Tigers fan this year. Give me a team to root for, please. Otherwise, it's kind of tough to watch sometimes.
Okay, well, become a Tigers fan. One thing the Tigers, it's like real estate, right? Location, location, location. Well, they're in the right spot, which is the very mediocre, might be putting it mildly, for the American League Central. It's a weak division. And if you're over 500, you probably got a shot at that division title. I know most people are picking the Twins, but, you know, Tigers made some moves in the offseason. We got kind of a young core. I think we have, you know, an ace at the top with Tariq Skubal. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Casey Mize is back. Hopefully he can stay healthy. You know, Javi Baez, I don't know. Maybe he can hit over 200. That's such an albatross, his contract. Yeah, we're rooting for the Tigers because, you know, Detroit's kind of a American League version of Pittsburgh. It's a blue-collar city. You know, hardworking people have had pockets of success, but have been down of late. So, yeah, I think the root for the Tigers, and I think you can realistically think we have a shot to win the division, not so much because we're so great, but because the division is so, let's say, balanced, okay? That's a nice way to put it. It's very balanced.
Maybe that works for me. Maybe it does. I like Bob's selling point. Root for our team. We're just slightly less crappy than everybody else that we play against in our division.
Bob, don't you guys have like a Cy Young candidate out there? You got a number one ace for the Detroit Tigers. Who is that?
Skubal. Yeah, he's up. I think one of the good guys. I just hope he can stay healthy. I mean, that's with everybody. But, yeah, he can really spin it, and he's going to be our opening day starter today against the White Sox. And I think the Tigers have a pretty good, you know, pitching core. And, of course, you know, Spencer Torkelson showed some good power last year, 30-plus home runs. You know, I mean, the Tigers should be better with all the high draft picks we've been getting, you know. And we just didn't have that Javi Baez contract. It's like an albatross. At some point, I think if he doesn't start playing, I don't care how much money we owe him, we need to make a move on that. The Tigers have a good rotation. They added some good bullpen pieces. You know, Parker Meadows, he's a outfielder. Hopefully he'll be our center fielder for a long time to come. And he hasn't hit a ton yet anyway, but, man, that guy can cover ground. And he's just he's a plus defender out there. And there's so much ground to cover in Comerica Park. There's, you know, such a big outfield. And so I think we have a lot of nice young pieces, and hopefully we can put it together this year.
All right. We'll see. I'm making no decisions yet, but I'll take your advice under advisement. Thank you very much, Bob. See you at Baum later tonight.
Okay. You guys take care.
Very good. Bob Holt, Democrat Gazette, who brought a little geopolitics into the segment, too, for a very brief 1980s geopolitics. That was unexpected. I don't know if you sold the Tigers to me enough. If you're going to make a comparison with the Tigers and the Pirates and say that there's some similarities there, I'm trying to avoid the Pirates.
I saw that Detroit at least had some talent. They're not like Oakland or Pittsburgh. They got some A players.
Oh, boy. Well, I need a team to root for. Let me know who should be. 877-377-6963 is our McLarty Daniel hotline.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device, and even track your bracket real time all the way through the tournament. Head to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here.
All right. Back here on Halftime, myself, C-Unit back at the studio. Hall of Famer Fishman Clay Henry going to join us for an hour. Phil Elson's off to talk at a baseball luncheon for, I guess it's for U of A stuff, but pretty cool, pretty good turnout, Clay. Hardscrabble Country Club here, man. It's a nice track. Good people out here. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. You know, that the plan was that me, you, Tommy, and maybe Todd Dunaway, we were all going to play golf after this meeting was over. So I was coming to town, and then I hurt my hand, and then there were some other things, and so it all just kind of disintegrated. But it's we always have called that group the Fort Smith Quarterback Club, but
okay.
But they've since changed it to a Razorback Club. But that was the Fort Smith Quarterback Club goes back to the 50s, and my dad was their speaker for 40 something years, I think, and then around 92 or 93 when Hogs Illustrated came into being, my dad was like, man, you're going to practice every day. You need to be doing this. So we had a changing of the guard, so to speak, and, you know, they got the low end of the stick at that point, and it was me. And then COVID hit, and then, you know, we didn't have any of those kind of deals. So I'm tickled to death that they are back to having that group, which I probably would know 90% of the people in that room, and you talk about, you cut them open, little piggies run out. Mm-hmm, it's a good group. Mm-hmm.
It's Razorback pride. That's for
yep.
sure.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we got a big one. It's happening, and I was asking or talking with Phil earlier. You know, LSU's coming into town. Both these teams are expected to go to Omaha, and this is why you come to Arkansas. I mean, just the environment, the atmosphere. I bet it's electric. They'll be able to see it. How do you see this series going?
Yeah.
And when, is there any answers still that you got? I mean, I know, Clay, you're the number one team in the country, but do you think is there any questions you still have about this team?
Yeah, so here's kind of a synopsis of what we got going here. You've got the defending national champs against the defending SEC champs. Arkansas, in Arkansas, won the West. They actually won the series at Baton Rouge last year. But, you know, LSU got hot in postseason. Arkansas, you know, cooled off. And so they won the national championship. But these are the teams that if you start every year and say who's going to contend in the West, who's going to contend in the SEC. And, I mean, you could go back 30 years in LSU's that team. Arkansas has been that team as well in the last 10 years. And certainly the last two or three years, they've held the upper hand as far as, you know, the conference standings over LSU. But you got to go through, you know, Butch Thompson, the Auburn coach, last week says, if you want to win in the SEC, you go through Arkansas. Well, that was what you said about LSU. If you're going to win in the SEC, you go through LSU. So now that's what they're playing for is to be that team. And, you know, football rivalries, you can smack somebody, you know, if you don't like them. But in baseball, you got to hit and pitch, if you know. And but it's a, for sure, it's a game that both teams will be jacked up to play.
What's and so Phil was talking a little bit about changing up the pitcher's rotation this week. Is this kind of just are you kind of messing with the opponent? Is it any shadow play, or what's the reason behind?
Well, so here's the interesting part is that they got a guy that they're saying is an ace, and they've decided that they don't want to burn that guy against the nation's best pitcher. So
right.
I mean, it's, you know, they call it pitching off. And teams have done it through the years. And I remember when Arkansas had Nick Smith, nobody pitched their Friday night guy. They would pitch somebody else and say, you know, if we're in the game, you know, middle of the game, you know, fifth, sixth inning, and we got Nick Smith out, then we might bring in some of our ace guys. But they're gonna say we're saving our top pitcher for Saturday. Oddly, you know, Arkansas moved Molina up a day and put Brady Tigard at the end, so that they're pitching Tigard on normal rest, and the other two guys are moving up. Yeah, I think that, you know, 5 days rest is plenty in college baseball. They usually get six. Pro baseball, you get four. So, you know, this isn't like, you know, an impossibility to pitch one day short, but it messes you up in the middle of the week because you change your bullpen day, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense. And with this pitching staff, the depth, Phil just keeps going on about how much depth this pitching staff has, and it might be DVH's best group. Who's another guy, Clay, outside of these, our three guys that are our weekend starters right now? Who is there another guy you could see that if we had to ask him to start, that he could start for us?
Yeah, I think, first of all, Will McIntyre has been a starter before, and when you put a guy, say, long relief, that's the same pitching, you know, like, can he, you know, Will McIntyre, you got 60, 70, 80 pitches on the weekend. They've been splitting it up into 2 days. In other words, he might save a game on Thursday, but then he might come back and pitch two or three innings another day. You know, it's kind of like in 04 when they had Jay Sawatsky, a left-hander. I don't know, that's kind of your era. You remember Jay?
Yep.
And they would pitch him twice on the weekend. They would let him save the game, maybe pitch two innings on Friday night, and then come back and start on Sunday. And especially if he didn't throw many pitches on Friday, you know, he might have 70, you know, pitches in him for Sunday. And that was pretty much how, you know, they pieced together that year with, you know, maybe not the depth that this team has pitching, but when you have a guy that goes twice like that, it changes it up. But I really, really think that you've got multiple guys besides Will McIntyre that can start. You know, Colin Fisher has started, you know, some midweek games. And I think, you know, you saw Ben Bibee, who they really, really thought that he would be a big piece to this pitching staff coming in this year. Had a great summer, added a pitch, really kind of fine-tuned his command of his fastball. And we saw that against UALR in the midweek this week. And I think Ben Bibee going forward, Dylan Carter, who was, you know, really a major piece in the bullpen until he had the Tommy John surgery last May, come back a little quicker than they, you know, 10 months is really, you know, a quick turnaround for him. But they've got numbers, and then they've got some experience, and, you know, that you're adding in Carter and Bibee.
Hey, C Unit, I think we got a phone. We got Charlie. Charlie, what's up, man?
What's up, fellas? What's up, fam? How y'all doing?
Yes,
we're
sir.
We're good.
Good. Clay, you said you hurt your hand. What'd you do, man? You been too much fishing? Did you get something caught? What happened to you?
It was during a fishing trip, and I had really put on a show, caught a bunch of fish, and was walking back up the bank. And I tripped on a rock. This was out of the water. Really, you're better off if you fall in the water because you just go splash. But if you fall on the rocks, and I reached out with my left hand and I hyperextended several fingers, they bent back. And I think one of them dislocated. I pulled it back in place. I just grabbed it. I looked down and it was a Z, my ring finger on my left hand, and I just pulled on it and it straightened out. And the doctor says, don't do that, by the way.
But it hurts.
Yeah.
When it's hurting like that,
you just got to do it real quick.
Grab
it.
You just, I'd always heard, just go ahead and grab it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't walk around with it in a Z. Don't walk into the ER room because it might be 3 hours before the doctor comes in and says, yeah, we can straighten that out. And he pulls on it. In the meantime, you've been hurting all that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was so painful that I thought I was going to throw up. And but it wouldn't. There was nothing broken. And, you know, I think I'm back in action. I think I'm okay.
That's bad.
That's 7 days ago.
Well, you'll heal up quick. I was just making sure it wasn't. I know you're a confident fisherman. I was making sure you wasn't doing too much out there. I know you're good and everything.
I probably was. I probably hiked down and went to some areas that I didn't have a good path walking back, and it was really rocky and steep.
I figured.
And it was a mistake.
Well, we all do them. We all make them, but I think with the Tiger and the Molina thing, too, Clay, so when is LSU going to throw their so-called A's out there? Which game are they going to plan on doing that?
Yeah, they're pitching him on normal rest. Now, he's their Friday night guy. They're going to pitch him on Friday night. But there isn't any question that they dodged. They dodged Hagen Smith is what they were doing.
Well, hey, I understand. you know, I get it. I mean, and if you could just, in their case, still won today, you feel good. But I will say this, I think it is a good opportunity for Molina, and I'm not knocking Tiger. I think Tiger is super talented. The kid he's got it all, but he has had some command issues this year at times, and you know, maybe hit a few more guys, walked a few more guys. I think too, you want to put Molina in that situation just to see how he responds. He'll be going against their ace, as you said. And, you know, I think it's a good, you know, they're both really good. I mean, you could go either way with those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie, here's the thing. Molina was Texas Tech's Friday night guy for the last 2 years. I mean, he's pitched in the Big 12 on Friday night, and that's not a slouch. So I think he's like, give me the ball. I mean, I want it. So I don't think that's, you know, LSU didn't catch a break. Let me just put it that way.
No, they didn't. They didn't. But, and also, you made the point about Will McIntyre a few weeks ago. I agree with you 100%. This guy could wind up being the MVP of this team. Because you just said it. He could start for a lot of teams. And the dude is just his value. If we stay healthy in the pen, it's going to be, that's how we're going to make a run. But his value is just, I can't even put it into words. Anyways, I'll hang up with you. Y'all have a good one. Clay, get healthy, man.
Yep, I'm all right. I mean, okay. I mean, he's
an athlete.
Worry about the healthy. Don't worry about the ones that are beat up. They're the ones that'll get you.
It'll be all right.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Dry January is over. Check out the new Valentine's Day specials like liquor-filled chocolates. They have Jack Daniel's Store Pick Barrel and Willett Bourbon and Rye as well. Come by Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith. Now back to the podcast.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Halftime myself, Fisherman Clay, Henry, C-Unit back in the studio. Man, got a lot of stuff going on in the sports world right now. Clay, what are they in spring ball right now? Are we about practice 8? And is there going to be a live scrimmage this Saturday?
Saturday morning, about 8:30. I'm going to come over Friday, go to baseball Friday night, see the second game of this series. I'm going to watch tonight. And I thought about going over, but when you see Hagan Smith from the center field camera, you really got a better view than anybody in the stadium. So I thought I'd watch that on TV and really get to see those pitches diving. I like to watch that slider from center field and watch it come out of his hand. It's just a thing of beauty. Then I'll come over Friday, watch baseball, spend the night with my daughter Sarah, and then go out, watch the scrimmage, and you know, I'm looking forward to that.
You know, when I think of last year's team and the things that you want to see and you want to see improvement on the offensive side of the ball, and I was talking with Phil about it, I think our offensive line last year it was a detriment, and I don't think it will be this year. I think they're going to be much improved. I think the whole offensive unit and system that they're going to do, I think we're going to be better in the red zone. And then a third down efficiency is going to be big as well. What do you want to see out of this offensive line? Because I know you'll be watching them in the scrimmage.
Well, I want to watch those two tackles and see if they can set that edge, and that's in the run game, and then that's, you know, take that, you know, the quick two step box, you know, drop that foot back and set that pocket, you know, for the quarterback. And just want to watch all the quarterbacks. And, you know, you're going to see. I think it'll be a lengthy, lengthy scrimmage. I mean, if Bobby Petrino has any input at all on how they're setting up the scrimmage, they're going to go 180 plays. And you think, well, that's a lot for the offensive line. But, that, you know, they're going to split it up. You know, the first unit will go probably, you know, 40-50 plays, then they'll rotate them probably 3 times, and you know that's a good way to, you know, see your linebackers in action. They're going to tackle the running backs. They're going to see who's their A team, so to speak, as far as running back who can run in short yardage. You know, I think that the last couple of years they might have got away from the scrimmaging because they just, you know, didn't think they had enough bullets, but hey, if they get some guys hurt this spring, you know, in the portal, you go replace them. It's almost like the NFL. You can't replace them in season, but you can replace them twice during the season.
Well, you got to hit.
I mean, the off season.
Yeah, you got to hit. You got to be physical. You got to practice tackling. That's something that you have to you have to work on.
Both sides of the ball. Yeah.
No question. Game speed. It's big. And I get into with some of these quarterbacks that, you know, their senior year in high school and then they go to college and they don't play their first year and they might not play. It might be 3 years before they see real live action. So you got to see a little live action. No question about it.
Matt, one of the things that you need to hit them. But the other part about it, and Petrino has alluded to this in some of his comments that I've seen in the last week, you don't know what you have at quarterback sometimes until you're live, mm-hmm. because you see if, you know, like Lamar Jackson, until you went live, you didn't see his strength, which was being able to make somebody miss. And I think that they did a disservice whenever they put you in a scrimmage and put a green jersey on you and said you can't hit him, because they weren't hitting you anyway, Matt. that's when you show what you got.
Yeah, David Lee was old school. I know my first year when I was, you know, you're running with the threes and the twos, and a lot of times we would be live, you know, it was pretty cool. I was talking with Phil about this offensive side of the ball, and I was thinking that running back was our best position coming back. And I was going to ask you if you think running back or maybe tight end. What do you think our best offensive position is?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think it's either running back or it's tight end. And I think that there's ability there, and there's a little bit of depth in. Of course, at running back, you can get them hurt pretty quick. I mean, I'll never forget 1978. watching. This was the Big 8 Skyriders tour, and we the third day we rolled into Lincoln, Nebraska, and they scrimmaged. It was a Saturday, and we got to watch the scrimmage, and they had seven tailbacks. They called them I-backs. Tom Osborne called them I-backs. They were in the I formation. They called them the I-back, and they had seven. And I said, well, gosh, Coach, that's a lot. And he goes, well, we really got 12, but we got seven that we're going to scrimmage today. And he says you can be down to your third or fourth one four games into the season. And he says, you better have seven ready. And so I never forgot that. You can run out of depth really fast at running back. I mean, you might get a couple of them hurt this spring. You might have somebody blow out a knee in the summer just making a cut. And if you think you just got two, well, then you're probably in trouble at running back.
Hey, I saw a couple of rules, and I agree with the NFLPA on this the players union about this hip drop tackle. I think it's ridiculous. How are you going to tackle Derrick Henry if he's? I mean, I think it's been overblown. I don't think it's that. It's not malicious. It's part of it's tackle football. Do you see that coming in effect in college football?
Not sure. I think they'll be a little slower to react to that. But Matt, explain that, because I'm not sure I totally understand it. Just what's a hip?
Well, what it is, it's like if I grab behind you and then I pull myself up and put my weight on you. I'm pulling you and I'm putting my weight all on one of your legs, and so you're causing that leg to really stick into the ground, and that's where the injury occurs, because all your weight you're focusing all your weight there. But that's the whole point. I'm trying to tackle you down, you know, and so that's, I mean, it's almost a tackle from behind. It's a sideways where you're kind of going from behind. It's not really a head-on tackle. It's just
almost
I think
the horse collar.
It's kind of like that, but you know, I just think you're asking these officials, you know, in real time. It's just going to be so tough.
I don't think they can call it.
Yeah, then you're going to be going back to the. I think it's just a mess. I really don't like it. Whatever. One thing I do like, and I might be in the minority, is that they're allowing the kickoff to at least be a play again, and I think it's. It's going to be good for the game. There can be big plays in the kickoff, and I wonder if college when they adopt that rule as well.
Well, I think that's probably coming. I mean, it's whatever they've done in the NFL will eventually trickle down. I wish that one of the things they do in the NFL that I really really like is the 2-minute warning, and they don't have it in college, and I. It's funny. There's some announcers that I've seen, some color analysts that they've done NFL games and they're doing a college game, and they're, we're coming up on the 2-minute warning. Well, no, we're not. There's not a 2-minute warning in college. But it just seems like, you know, the best stuff in the NBA will trickle down to the college, you know, the college basketball rules, and hopefully we got the same thing coming in. You know, NFL will add the 2-minute warning and will continue to fine-tune the way they do the replay to make it faster.
Hey, Clay, on the defensive side of the ball, Travis Williamson's second year, what do you think we can expect as fans? I thought he was pretty good, pretty sharp last year, had some good schemes going on. Are we going to have the depth at the D-line to be able to do some things? Because he likes to bring a little pressure.
Yeah, one of the little tweaks that they're experimenting with this spring, and I think you'll see it, is that they're taking some of the defensive ends that have a little more versatility, and they're playing them in what they call the buck position, which is the outside linebacker that drops into coverage a little more. You know, he'll step up, then he'll step back. You don't know if he's coming or if he's going to put a hand down at the last minute. You know, they'll stem and move. So it just gives them a little more versatility, and it makes it tougher on the quarterback when he's trying to read things. And, you know, they've got two or three guys that they think can play that position. And I know that's the defense that Kevin Steele ran at Auburn, then again at Alabama, that whenever I saw it, you knew they had a great player at buck. I mean, that's probably the hardest position, that and nickel. because it requires more versatility. But I think that's one of the areas that I'm looking forward to watching on Saturday when they scrimmage, is that buck position.
Yeah, it's almost like a headhunter. It's somebody that you want an athlete there. I think of Harold Perkins at LSU would be a perfect guy. Would Tony Bua be okay in that, or would he be too small? Are you looking for a bigger guy?
I think there are times that, you know, in a nickel where you definitely could play him that. And, I mean, he would definitely like the freedom to blitz. I think that's
right.
You know, Tony always says, just turn me loose. Now,
you just got to let him
Tony,
make plays. Yeah.
Tony played linebacker for 3 years, and then he played safety his last year. Mm-hmm. And he thought he was a safety, but in reality, he was an outside linebacker in a hybrid defense. That's really what his strength was. But he begged and begged and begged. In fact, we had a cover, and we did an interview not too long ago. It was the same story that I talked to you about. We were talking about the players that had played for Houston Nutt, and Tony reminded me that we did a cover in the summer that says, Tony's finally free. In other words, he was at free safety, but in his mind, he'd been set free. You know, like, he's a 190-pound guy that's playing in the box. Now, that's not easy, because he said there were times a 330-pound guard was pulling into the alley, and he has to take him on, and he's given up, you know, 200-plus. You know, you better be rugged. I mean, he could do it, but that's what we're talking about, is a guy that can – you have versatility in the defense when you've got a guy that can play multiple spots, and no matter how the offense decides to play you, two tight ends, an extra H-back, that you got a guy that can play both ways.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.